Guys, great job again. Good morning, all. Good morning, those who are joining from home as well, and later on the video. So I've been talking about prayer recently, and today we're going to be talking about fasting, or if you like, fasting. I know that whatever you say is going to... If you say fasting, half the people think, oh, what on earth is he on about? He's obviously got a plum in his mouth. And if you say fasting, the others say, where's he come from and dragged up from? So I'm going to get that out of the way right away at the beginning. I don't know what I'm going to say, and I'll probably say one or both of them at different times. But you'll have to bear with me, whichever you want. Well, I'm afraid some of you, half of you, are going to be disappointed. Never mind. So we're going to be talking about fasting today. Do you know, nearly everybody fasts. Do you know, all religions fast. Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, and all the other little ones as well. It's pretty well universal. It's just not universal in our type of Christianity. That's the interesting thing. Do you know, people fast for all sorts of different reasons. Some people fast for health reasons. The Bible says that even evil people fasted. I was really shocked when I was just preparing to see that Ahab, who was one of those evil kings ever, the Bible says that he fasted. So it's very, very universal. But we have a tradition that doesn't have a strict liturgy. Those Christians that have a liturgy nearly all have a fasting built into the liturgy. The Catholics and the Orthodox, we know, are very, very much, they do that every week. It's built in to their system, as it were. But because we're non-conformist, we don't conform. And so we, you know, the Reformation came, we threw all of that out. But we know that he's coming back. We know that we're doing it. And I have to confess to you, when Pastor Robin asked me to speak about prayer and fasting, I thought, oh no. It's not something that I have done that at different times in my life, but not universally, not in any sort of rhythm, until we started that here. So first of all, I'd like to just look at God's view of fasting, just to see what he's got to say about it, so that we're sure and clear what God has to say about it. Okay. So let's look at, the first passage I've chosen doesn't mention fasting, so I'll sort of explain that. But you'll understand because it says the same sort of thing. So the first one is Amos and chapter 5. I despise your feast days. Now, clearly a feast day is not a fasting day. Okay, I understand that, but you understand. And I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. Now here, in this, you begin to hear, and God's basically saying, and also when you fast, okay? Nor I will regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. Wow, we're beginning to hear this. For I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. But let water run down. Let justice run down like water and righteousness, in the old version it says, as an ever-flowing stream. So listen to what God is saying. That all those things that we do, that we think are great, oh Lord, I've just come to bless you this morning. Well, but let justice run down like water, and righteousness as an ever-flowing stream, as a mighty stream. Okay, so now we go to the fasting one. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 7. You'll see it's basically saying the same thing. Say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seven months, during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? Did you really do it for me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourself? Should you not have obeyed the words which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowlands were inhabited? Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. There's that word again. Show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother or sister. And then we're going to go just now to look at Isaiah 58, which is the chapter in the Bible about fasting. They seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, and they take a delight in approaching me. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? So these people were fasting. And yet somehow God turned a deaf ear. In fact, in all the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? This is what the Lord's saying. A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you may break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. You remember Jesus saying, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. That when you saw the hungry, you fed them. When you saw the naked, you clothed them. When you saw the one in prison, you visited them. When did we do that, Lord? Inasmuch as you did it unto them, you did it to me. You see, there are conditions to fasting. The Lord isn't going to take any notice if there's hypocrisy. Your words and your actions have to be the same. They must match. There was a little bit in there that I just... Let me just explain. What I did was I went through all those scriptures and I said, Lord, what are you actually... Can I put into words what you're saying here? And one of the things that came up, it came up there, but it wasn't very noticeable. But one of them was, watch your tongue, what you're saying to the afflicted and so on. Watch your tongue. Love one another. Support one another. Help one another. one another. Do you know what comes over in those verses? Did you notice that it wasn't primarily for you? It was that others would be blessed. You see, fasting is to do with a heart attitude. It's not what happens on the outside, it's what's happening on the inside. You remember that when Samuel went to anoint David, and they were saying, oh, well, what's going on here? And they said, no, the Lord said, no, David, Samuel, you've got it wrong. You see, I'm not watching what happens on the outside. I'm watching what happens on the inside. So what we need to learn is that we have to do it God's way. And this is what's in that same passage now in Isaiah 58. This is what he says, that if you do it his way, this is what happens. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. And the next one, thanks. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then shall you call. The Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be recalled the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Is that what you want? Let's have a look at those again. Let's go back to that again. I just want to share the word of God. Sorry, let's go back to the beginning, Fran. That's it. Is this what you want? That the light shall break forth like the morning in your life. Your healing will spring forth speedily. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be behind you and your rear guard. It will follow you wherever you go, the glory of the Lord. Then you'll call and he will answer. He will answer now. You'll cry and he will say, here I am. Is that what we want? If you take away the yoke and stop the pointing and speaking wickedness, if you carry on, if you extend the soul to the hungry and afflicted, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness will be like the brightest time of day. The Lord will guide you continually. Anybody want that? And strengthen your bones. Yes, Lord, that's for me. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. It will just keep on coming. And those among you should build the old waste places, the places that have gone bad and just fallen down. You will raise up foundations for many generations. We've prayed about that. For the people, our children and our grandchildren and our children's children to the third and fourth generation. You will be called a repairer of the breach. Wow. You shall be called a restorer of streets to dwell in. Blessed are the peacemakers. they will be called the sons of God. Is that what we want? Amen. Amen. So why fast then? Do you know, fasting is a funny thing, actually. I don't know whether you like me. I like value for money. Who likes a bargain? The trouble with fasting is you're never sure whether it's worked. You know, you can spend all this time fasting and, well, has anything actually happened? There's nothing to see. There's nothing tangible to grab hold of. You see, you just have to believe what we've read. You have to believe that God is a rewarder of those who trust him and who put their faith in him. That when he says, do this, he will reward you if you obey. So, just have a few examples now. The Jews fasted, and it's interesting. The Jews often fast as a remembrance, although that isn't in the New Testament. So let's have a look at just two or three things. They fasted for when they wanted a particular request. They fasted. So we're going to look at some reasons why fast. Okay. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Okay. Sorry. We've got the wrong one. Don't worry. So in Judges, it talks about them fasting because they were in battle and they were saying, Lord, we need to win this battle. Shall we go up and do that? There were requests for healing as well. Do you remember David? 2 Samuel. Have you got the 2 Samuel one? Yeah. And then his servant says to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food. Do you remember David praying for his son? And he fasted and he wept because the son was ill and was going to die. So he fasted and said, Lord, I've got this request. Will you save this child? They fasted for confession and repentance. Let's look at 1 Samuel 7. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. They fasted because things had gone wrong and they were repenting and saying, Lord, we don't want to do that. Nehemiah in chapter 1, a well-known one. So it was. Nehemiah, do you remember, he was there in Babylon. And he said, when I heard these words, I sat down and I wept and mourned many days because the walls of Jerusalem were broken down. And I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Oh, Lord, this is terrible. I want to repent for what's gone on. I want to repent that things, we went away from you, that we didn't do it your way. And then in Ezra, they fasted because they wanted to humble themselves. And Ezra said, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek him the right way for us and our little ones and our possessions. And then we know that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights while he was being tempted by the devil. He was fasting for strength and provision, as it were, that wasn't an earthly provision, but a spiritual provision. The interesting thing is, of course, is that the disciples didn't fast, or were not told that they fasted. Why was that? Do you remember them? Do you remember the Pharisees coming to Jesus and saying, Why is it your disciples don't fast then? And Jesus said, the servants don't, the friends don't fast when the bridegroom is here. They rejoice. But the time will come when they will fast. And the time did come for various reasons. But we've just picked up one in Acts 14 and verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So the early church fasted as well. When things were happening in their church, when they were wanting to appoint people and elders, they fasted and made sure it was what the Lord's will was. So everyone throughout the scripture fasted. Let's just look again and remind ourselves what they were fasting for. In now, not so much in the past, but for us now. What would we fast for? Requests and intercession are the things that we're saying, Lord, we need this. We need this. I'm desperate for this, Lord. We've prayed for our families. We've prayed for a lot for our families. Lord, we need our families to be saved. A number of in the church have children who are not saved, who are not just not saved, but are quite resistant. Perhaps we should fast about that. Perhaps you already have. This is not in any sense condemnatory at all. We're just looking at the scriptures and what the Lord's calling us to. So, and I know that there's been a mass of fasting in the church. I know that. So it's not, we're not saying this is what we should be starting to do, because I know it's happened already. But we're just reminding ourselves. Requests and intercession. Lord, we need you to bear your arm and break through for us in certain situations. We picked up as well that we fast for confession, repentance, and forgiveness. Maybe there's been something in your life that the Lord is now just touching by his Spirit and saying, you know, are you really meaning this? We've used the word a lot recently about intentional. Pastor Emmanuel mentioned this morning already. We talked a little while about being intentional. Lord, does the Lord need to see us being intentional? Lord, what does that mean? Lord, I am serious about this. I am serious about it. It's not a light thing. I want you to hear my confession, Lord. I want you to repent before you. I want your forgiveness. And I will show you, Lord, that I'm serious. And maybe I'll fast about that. We fast primarily to humble ourselves before the Lord, to lay our lives down. We talked a bit when we were talking about praying and the Lord's Prayer about our wills being aligned with his will. You know, I have to work at that sometimes. No, sorry, I'll change that. I have to work at that all the time. Do you know, my will keeps on coming up. Do you know, I'm just going to let you into a secret. I like having my own way. Oh, there's a bit of a titter thrown there. I like doing things my way. But sometimes my way is not the best way. Sometimes my way is no way at all. And I need to say, Lord, my will needs to go. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. I need to humble myself. I need to break out of earthly patterns and passions. Sometimes I need guidance. What am I to do, Lord? Insight into his will. It's the same thing, extending, isn't it? What am I to do, Lord? Can you give me that insight? I've been struggling with this for ages. This is only a small thing, but I found this preparing today a little bit more difficult than I do normally. I had to keep saying, Lord, what actually are you saying here? Insight into what he's saying. We've talked about preparation, consecration, and empowerment. Sometimes we just need more. We need to see what Father's doing more clearly. We need to hear his words more clearly. You remember we mentioned last time about them coming down the mountain of transfiguration, and there was the commotion, and the disciples couldn't heal the demonic boy, the epileptic boy. And Jesus said, or they said to Jesus, well, why couldn't we do it? And he said, well, this sort only comes out by prayer. Here's an interesting thing. All the original manuscripts of the New Testament just say the word prayer. It's the later ones that say prayer and fasting. My take on that is that actually Jesus never said the word fasting. But when they were writing it 200 years later and copying it, the practice in the church was to pray and fast. And they assumed that the two go together, and they do sometimes. And so somebody at some point in the later manuscripts added the word fasting. This sort only comes about by prayer and fasting. Sometimes, Lord, I need more. Sometimes what I've got is not sufficient. Fasting will do that for us. And finally, who for? Well, we've talked about there is something in it for us. There is something actually in it for us. We get closer to Father. We hear him. We work out our salvation. It probably increases our sanctification or the speed at which we become more like Jesus. You know, John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. That's a process for us all. And fasting undoubtedly helps that process. But primarily, it's in order that I will have the resources to bless you. It's that I have the resources to be compassionate. I have the resources to give what I've given, what I've got. Do you remember that great thing, Peter, on that first day after they were filled with the Spirit? Money I don't have, but what I have, I will give to you. He said to the guy who couldn't walk, get up and walk. I want to give away the life of the Lord. But I have to have the life of the Lord in me to do it. And I have, you know, we talked about overflow in the past where I have, I think. Do you know, if your tank isn't full, you keep it for yourself. You give away what overflows. Lord, give us the overflow. Let us overflow to everyone. Let us overflow to the next person. Let us overflow to our husbands and wives, our children, our grandchildren. Let us overflow to the people at work. Let us overflow to the people at school. Let us overflow to everybody we meet. And maybe, possibly, probably I need to fast sometimes in order for that to happen. So let's be intentional, brothers and sisters. I just want to encourage you that as we go through these rhythms of fasting in the church now, maybe you haven't been a part of it, maybe you have. But let's keep on going with that. Let's say, Lord, it's what you called. This is the fast that I require. That you're gracious to each other, that you bless each other. And that you have a heart so in line with me that you'll do it. We want to be intentional and do it, not just talk about it. Amen? Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless you all.